Hey gang, just a quick heads up at the top of the episode. We had a few technical and audio difficulties with the sound. It winds up being perfectly fine to listen to. There's a slightly awkward transition about 38 minutes in that I'm going to cover up with some music. Otherwise, some of the sort of usual hiccups with recording via Craig. But on the whole, good episode. Hope you enjoy it. I will get out of your way and let you get to enjoying us fighting some wolves. There we go.
You got it, team.
All right. We're going to get through this. I promise. Hi. Welcome to The Roll Less Taken. This is our campfire season where we are playing Sleepaway by Jay Dragon. And I am joined by most of my usual players. Who have we got?
It's M. I have been playing Sean. And we both use they, them pronouns.
Hi, I'm Chris. I use whatever pronouns, and I've been playing Sabrina, who uses she, her pronouns.
I didn't actually introduce my character, which is Jet, who uses Zizir pronouns. Mickey is having some technical difficulties and might jump in later, depending on how things go on their end. They are playing Luminescence, who uses they, them pronouns, and Mickey also uses they, them pronouns. So if you hear another voice later, and this is your first episode for some reason, that's who that last voice is. Where were we?
Oh, so much has happened. At the beginning of last episode, we ran into the Lindworm. Or we were in an encounter with the Lindworm. And a few settings were destroyed. Sabrina tackled this dead visage of Sid, who disintegrated into a bunch of roaches. And we, after that encounter, we made it to our spot, and then we all decide to do a spell together to summon this moth monarch, who instrides this beautiful 6'5" person wearing thigh-high pumps. Has thick thighs, a white silk gown, super curvy body, beautiful chest and arm hair, wearing a beautiful black wig. This is Luminescence, who uses they, them pronouns. And we kind of have this back and forth with the monarch. And we eventually come to explaining Hellbender Queen and all the things that we're trying to accomplish. And they feel some connection and camaraderie with us, and agree to kind of give some of the moths that have already passed away to the Newt Queen, Queen Newt, named Felicity, Margaret, and Todd. Those were the moths that have passed that we are giving. And currently Sabrina is holding them in their hands. She has become the ones responsible as we set out. And then we saw the wolves, which was another new Lindworm element, I think is what it's called. And so we see many different shapes that they're not able to control. They have a variety of all these different elements like human hands or no eyes or long legs, and it's just kind of shifting back and forth between these pictures. And their shadow goes across the fire that I think we were at before leaving. That's how we know that they're there. And then I think that's where we ended.
Yeah.
Or was that more?
I think we just heard some wolves in the distance.
Yes.
And I was going to just remark that I've heard thick thighs save lives, so Luminescence is definitely here for us in that regard.
They shall be our savior.
I forgot that we started with a direct Lindworm confrontation, and then at the end I was just you know what? That seemed too easy. Let's have more Lindworm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lindworm element is it basically functions the same as any of the other elements we've been using, like the lake and the campers and Our Lady Oubliette and stuff. It's just that there are two that are very specifically tied to the Lindworm and basically exist to make our lives more miserable. And so we have these creepy ass wolves on our tail.
And so I think, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, we're picking up with like them making their moves upon our group as we're trying to make it back to Queen Newt, correct?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we left off specifically.
Cool.
Just as a reminder, I guess, just because it's been a couple weeks for us, the description for the wolves says, "The wolves were once a noble people, their hearts tied to the land and the winter snow woven from their fur. The Lindworm came and, disguised as one of them, flayed each and every one of them in this land. Now the wolves, lost and confused, wander these ancient woods, enacting the same violence forced onto them."
And their moves are harsh.
Yep. I mean, we're kind of in the end game here, so might as well.
We are. Yeah.
Their desires are to chase and break. Oof. So, yeah. Mickey, have you joined us yet? Or?
Yeah, I can hear y'all. Can you hear me?
We can. You do sound a little bit like you're on like a 1980s car phone, but otherwise it's fine.
Oh no, not bueno for recording.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, this is just my computer. So I will listen mostly and speak rarely and just enjoy all of this. Yeah, because I don't want to sully the recording with this voice.
Oh no, it's not that bad, really.
Not.
I mean, I imagine it's pretty bad. It's just...
No, it's clear enough, so I'm not worried.
Yeah.
Maybe I could try the mic one more time. Whenever I plug in the mic, Discord's shutting down, but let's try. But, you know, I'll keep... I suppose?
Say something?
Did we lose you again?
Oh, you did, but now I'm back.
Oh, cool. Oh. Hey, there we go.
Okay, it sounds better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to hold it really close to my face and just like not blink. No, but thank you so much for waiting. Really appreciate it and stoked to jump in.
No problem. I have already told the lovely people at home who you are, so.
Aw, you the best.
They know who you are. They know.
You know. Absolutely. And I also wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the Moth Maiden's dreams, and this is totally crazy, a forgotten childhood dream about the moon chasing away the wolves.
Oh, interesting.
It's a memory of my character.
Well, lucky for us. Does anybody want to pick up the wolves and be kind of...
Also be the wolves?
Also be the wolves?
Yeah, I was just looking at the ritual that's mentioned, the pale hunt.
I was also looking that up, Graham.
It could be interesting. We do have to take every move at least twice, which means we have to like lose characters and items, which we don't really have a lot of. Uh-huh.
We have to take the moves? What?
It says the move, the ritual ends after every move has been taken at least twice.
Okay, for the ritual. I have to find it.
And apparently we do have to scream. I don't know if any of us are going to do that.
Oh, I can say I'm not a very good screamer.
I mean, I have also got, like, neighbors, and it is, you know, 9 o'clock at night, so.
Maybe we'll, like, record a scream at another time and just put it in there.
Yeah, I can also add some sound effects.
Yeah, that's true. Professional screamers, we are the thing we need in this game.
So what other characters Oh, that's one we could probably sacrifice. We have basically two non-player characters left, which are Lucinda and Tad. And as far as items go, we basically have the compass and that's it.
Yeah.
If we want to do this.
Death to Tad. Death to Tad.
And we've got campers left as well, but we're trying to hold on to them because technically if they all die, we lose the game.
Yeah. Yep.
We're basically talking around it. Does anybody have a thing that we think we need to do right now?
I'm going to pick up the wolves.
All right.
I've decided. And as the group, I'm assuming, is trying to make their way to the Newt Queen, you hear the wolves in the background. I was going to start the ritual of the Pale Hunt. I think that they are now on the hunt, spurred on by the Lindworm and this violence that has been instilled in their heart. And the sounds of the wolf keep getting closer and closer to the group. Is there anything you want to do maybe before the wolves like get to the group officially?
I mean, I think I may have said this at the end of the last episode that Jet has probably knocked Zir's bow. So there's like an arrow ready to be fired.
Z is ready?
I think at this point.
Zaddy's got you all.
The Zaddy. Oh,
I think as we hear the approaching of the wolves, that Sabrina, who's still holding these fragile little moth caskets, is going to kind of clutch them tightly to her chest.
And now you see Sean, like, even though they're already very pale, gonna go even more pale, say, "Oh God, I can hear them howling." And that's gonna start the ritual. So now we have to choose one to describe in as much detail as the group is comfortable. The sound of blood pumping, the jerky movements of the wolves, howling wolves, the Lindworm in the distance, or the feeling of cold air against your skin. Is anybody drawn to those?
I kind of like the movements of the wolves, because we did talk about them as like sort of shape-shifting. So I think they're kind of like, they're definitely, you know, built for this. They're definitely creatures of grace and elegance, but at the same time there is that sort of awkwardness of like being unable to control their body. So like, you know, we kind of see them darting through the trees, and it's like, I don't know, it's almost like those videos, or like, you know, in like a horror movie where somebody's like face starts moving really fast and is like really terrifying. It's like that, except they're actually moving, but they've got that like blurriness going on around their limbs and around their eyes and around their faces. And sometimes the eyes are there and sometimes the eyes are not. And sometimes the limbs are there and sometimes the limbs are not. You know, they're just sort of floating, but they're floating in a way that's like, they're not about to pounce, but they're surrounding us. And that is also terrifying. And I was going to say that also causes Jet to make a weak move and forget what the Cataract Knight taught them.
Ooh.
Which is, the lesson is to strike like a broken heart and make each strike hurt twice as much. So they are basically just, you know, getting ready to fire wildly into the dark and like just try to shoot, like hit anything that they can, not even if it is like a target or something damaged. They're a little scared.
Like that.
I'd like to add on to that, if I may, and let me know everybody's comfort level with it, but I kind of imagine just this tortured past of the wolves and how they've been corrupted by the Lindworm, that this shape-shifting and inability to control their form probably hurts them. And so their jerky movements, like amongst the howling, we hear whimpers like consistently throughout the group.
Definitely.
I like that.
And I want to add just like a touch more imagery, because I am so creeped out by the fact that they sometimes have human hands. And I imagine that as they're like running around us, towards us, that like once it'll be a paw, and then you'll see like a human hand with like extremely dirty and bloody fingernails that like squeezes into the dirt, like almost in pain as they're like running.
That's good.
And then with that, I think Sean will also do a weak move, and They're gonna get lost in misery and ennui, and they just like kind of drop to the ground, hug their knees, and start rocking. No, 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 no. It was going so well. No, 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 no.
Oof.
It's going to be their weak move. Some other things we can do. So we've now completed three of the moves once, mm-hmm. but we have to lose an item card, lose a character card, or fill your body with tension. Oh, yeah, and let out a scream. Or roar.
Hmm. I mean, it sounds like Sean is about to scream if something gets a little too
probably
close to them.
I think so. I think, like, if the wolves were gonna get closer, I really don't want to scream right now. But, right. like, maybe, like, a strangled cry slash scream slash yell escapes from their mouth. Like, everything is just building up and it's, like, a big, like, no! Something like that.
Have an idea for what item to lose, but it would be counterproductive to everything we've been doing up to this point, because technically aren't the moths now an item that we have?
You're right. I did just think of that.
They are.
We have three of them.
We do have three of them. And they sacrificed their tiny little lives, or rather the moth maiden was kind enough to loan them to us.
Mm.
Or give them to us. But I think, I feel that in this moment, Sabrina, clutching tightly onto these tiny caskets, is going to gasp at Sean's sudden outburst and loss of composure, and is just going to kind of revert back to her panicked self, and kind of, in rushing down to check and see if they're okay, lose, like, stop paying attention. And one of the wolves, snarling in pain and rage, is going to lunge at her, making her drop one of the moths.
Would you describe that as bungling something that Sabrina was confident she could do?
That is absolutely bungling it, but do I even... Okay, cool, that's a weak move. I get a token.
We need another weak move.
Bungled it up, and now this wolf, which was originally going for her, sees this item fall from her hands and is going to snatch it away and run back towards the pack. And she's going to lunge out for it before remembering these are wolves. And she's putting the other two in her pocket.
I think, oh, go ahead.
Did you say we need one more weak move for the ritual?
Yes.
Okay, I've got one, but it requires a bit of help. Graham, can you describe what your character is doing right now? I know you said they've forgotten the lesson. They're firing wildly. What does it look like?
They're just kind of, like, I think standing probably a few feet away from Sean, but, like, kind of firing over them to try and, I think once Sean went down, they were trying to, Jet moved to trying to protect them, and is just like launching arrows, arrow after arrow.
I'm gonna say then that Lumen will look over at this group of people that are familiar but different and see this knight, water pouring through him. Sorry, water pouring through them. Just so elegant and so otherworldly, and there's this otherworldliness that just draws Lumen towards Jet. And in that moment, they use a weak move and they fall in love like a fool.
Oh, dang.
There's the Moth Maiden. The moth monarch, rather, has fire in their eyes, and they look over at Jet and see the water in their being, and just, it just makes sense to them. So that's their weak move. fall in love like a fool.
Wow, that is very good.
Breaking hearts and
I like the idea. There's like chaos and terror, and in the midst of it, the Moth Marnik is just swooning.
Yeah.
And like they are this massive, like powerful being just in a swoon, doing nothing helpful.
Oh man.
Okay. I imagine that at some point Sean just like gets up and starts running out of the forest. And like as we get closer to camp, we hear additional screaming. And we maybe recognize these voices that are screaming, coming from like the last few people that are still here with us. And we hear Lucinda and Tad, which were like, you know, it's still sad that he's dying.
Yeah.
Even if he was a dick, but
he sorry, doesn't I deserve know if I this. Say that. No, you. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Okay. I was like, oh man.
Oh. Tad is a dick, but he doesn't deserve this.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve to die. No one deserves to die, especially like this. And spurred on, like, gonna keep running. So
yeah, I actually have an idea for how to resolve that, but I'm gonna wait until the ritual's over.
Okay.
I think yeah, and I think as we hear the attack, we do hear some just like vicious and but pained roars as well from the wolves. Mickey, do you have a description? That's I think the last thing we need. Oh, we also need to lose another item.
Sure. A description of the wolves.
Description of any of the things, like the sound of blood pumping, the jerky movements. Yeah, yeah.
I actually did have one. As we're looking over the forest tree line, I'm imagining even amongst this swoon, the eye can't help but be moved towards the tree line where Sean just ran. And Sean ran into the trees ahead of us. But I imagine there's movement in the forest behind them. And it's the type of movement of trees shaking. It's not the wolves. It's big. And it's like a small earthquake that's moving generally towards the direction that Sean was running. And that was my description of the Lindworm.
The Lindworm in the distance.
Yeah, that's the one I kind of wanted to hear too, so.
Yeah.
I think if we lose an item card with it, we can end the ritual. The only other items that we have are either two more moths or a compass that has not really come up much.
Who has the
compass? And I'm not sure who has that after Achille disappeared.
I feel like we collected Achille's things.
We did.
I can't remember, yeah.
Maybe let's do it this way. I think maybe Sean has at least some of Achille's things and probably has the compass. And while they're running in their like frantic state, like the compass that was hanging off of like one of their carabiners that's attached to some bag that they carry gets ripped off and the compass like falls to the ground. And very similar to how the harmonica was like sunken in, the compass is also absorbed back into the earth.
Nice. I like it.
And I think that's it, unless somebody else wants to scream.
Ah.
I mean,
Mickey, you have to do it too.
Oh, I have to? Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to like gauge how loud is socially appropriate for my very small home next to other homes.
Well, we all just went so.
Yeah, so I guess I want to do more of like a grumble, like, oh. Because we had a growl, right? Was an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I like Lumen would growl at one of the wolves.
I do love that. They're fighting back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
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 I think we made it then.
Are you near Sean?
Maybe, but yeah, I think we made it. Lumen would probably put their arm on Jet's shoulder and say, like, come on now, honey. It's time to go. We have to go after Sean.
Okay. And I think then Jet takes off running after Sean with Lumen, maybe hand in hand, just to, like, you know, in that, like, keep them close kind of thing.
When you say maybe, I need to know.
No, definitely just kind of grabs. But I think it's more of like a grab of efficiency than of like interest at the moment.
I mean, still though.
Lumen will take it. And do we have, where was Sabrina in this?
Away or toward our destination?
Toward.
I think we've been kind of running in the direction of.
I mean, she would have followed regardless. I was just curious, me, Chris. Anyway, Sabrina would have taken off running right after Sean. Kind of one hand clutching the pocket that's holding the two remaining moths.
Okay. Yeah, Jet would have probably grabbed your hand if you were, you know, nearby. Just to kind of keep you in tow as well. And I was going to say, maybe what happens is, like, Sean kind of... I'm kind of thinking, like, that scene in Lord of the Rings where they're running from the ring wraiths, and then there's like a little ditch that they fall in. And like Sean finds it first, and then the rest of us find it, and then the wolves kind of like keep going. One or two even like jump over us without noticing, and then they're just like gone into the woods, and the woods returned back to that like quiet stillness that we had been encountering beforehand. Almost like nothing had ever happened.
The end of the ritual does say remove the wolves from the game.
Mm.
So.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, the wolves. I think they definitely place Sabrina in an impossible choice with like releasing the moth, and then they did the pale hunt. And they lashed out killing minor characters. I think they did a good amount of damage.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And I mean, they also killed Lucinda and Tad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I have a move that I can use to at least save one of... Well, I could probably save both of them if we really wanted.
Can?
I have a move that says, keep someone alive with a piece of your heart.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Although of the two, I'll be honest, Lucinda deserves it way more. So yeah, do we wanna do that?
I feel we still have some campers here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we kinda need Lucinda.
We do kinda.
Yeah, what would Jet do?
It's a good question. I think Jet would remember from Sean sort of bashing all of Jet's memories back into Zir's head. So I think we, as we're walking by, we do see these two like broken, damaged, like, you know, torn up corpses, torn up bodies. But we still see enough of both of them to recognize who they are. And yeah, I think Jet just goes, we know them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, we do know them, don't we?
That one was kind.
That one was a dick. Sorry, I guess he's right there. I shouldn't say that, but that's bouncing around in here.
That's fun.
We should we help them? Should we do something for them?
I could have the moths come and begin the process. Is that what you were thinking for their afterlife? Put them in the earth.
I mean, I think Jet's like started looking at Lucinda's body and is like, Maybe not yet. Maybe not for her.
Can you help her?
I think I can try. There's too late for him, for sure. But she had a spark of life in her that was larger than what the Lindworm had, or at least what the Lindworm did to the wolves, so maybe.
Yeah, if you can help her, that would be great.
And I think with that, Jet kind of like starts undoing. I kind of imagine it's like bolted on with like wing nuts, the like plate on Zir's chest. Starts like undoing it and kind of like takes it off. And let me know if this gets a little too creepy or weird for anybody. But to kind of like reach inside and like take a piece of like solid, almost gelatinous water out of Zir's heart, and kind of like still with the chest plate open, now the sort of rush of water is louder coming from inside, and they kind of just plunge it directly into the sort of damaged part of Lucinda's body, like chest, and there's nothing for a few seconds. There's no noise, no anything, and then the sound of rushing water, kind of the same, but just like a hair off of like waves in the distance, kind of start washing in and washing over the clearing that we're in. And some of the injuries start knitting together, not all the way, not all like not to completely repair her, but enough that like she could potentially start walking around. And Jet kind of looks at the group and goes, I've done what I can. The rest is kind of on her. And they sit sort of cross-legged, like next to her, and kind of wait.
Well, then I will, I guess, help Tad and Lumen if you want to help. And I'll just perform like an abbreviated version of Death's Journey. Like, we don't have to go through the whole ritual, but take some time to make sure Tad gets a proper death.
Lumen would just look over at you, Sean, with you saying you were going to help them, and they would be like, oh no, I wouldn't touch all of that. This would be stained instantly, pointing to their gown. But you know, I could call over my moths to help aid in the process a bit, clean up a bit.
I think that would be nice.
Okay, very good.
Every death deserves some sort of honor.
Oh, well, sure, but there's so much death, you know?
Very true.
But yes, I'll get the moths in. And a series of white moths with black spots arrive and begin kind of tidying the body a bit.
Covering it in silk, maybe?
I like it.
Definitely.
And I think, I don't know. Kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say Tad maybe just like goes into the earth somehow, maybe with the silk of the moth or the magic of the death's ritual.
I mean, maybe it's kind of like the, like Gulliver's Travels, like that kind of like ropes him down to the ground, except it like then completely cocoons him, and then it just sort of sinks the whole thing down, and the grass is just smooth afterward. Self-cleaning.
Rip Tad.
And you have to love that about these fields. Am I right? And like Lumen's just
self-cleaning,
just having this moment. Like, and that's what's so beautiful about this place. You know, sure. Did we almost die? Yeah. Will it happen again? Of course. But the forest is just cleaning itself up. What craftsmanship. Just gets down on their knees and is like looking at the seamless ground.
I think that Sabrina would kind of watch all of this transpire, and kind of watching the moth monarch kind of befuddled, maybe a little bit offended, because she's been holding back tears this whole time since discovering the bodies, but will just kind of nod confusedly before slouching down to like kind of gently shake Lucinda's shoulder to see if she comes to and if she's okay. Lucinda, Can you hear us?
I think she wakes with a scream. She's like, ah! Because, you know,
Sabrina will scream.
You know, before she died, she was having her, you know, throat torn out by a wolf or something.
Fair.
So she is, like, still in fight or flight mode. She, like, probably punches Jet, like, not hard, or at least not hard by Jet standards, but still, like, punches Jet and is, like, you know, scrambles to her feet after a second.
Sabrina will, like, scramble up with her, kind of steady her shoulders, hand on the chest, like, it's okay, breathe. You're fine now, everything's okay. You've been helped, you're saved.
She's still got, like, long gashes down her arm and is, like, probably got at least a broken, like, I don't know, one broken limb somewhere. And
so Lumen would have gotten up off the ground near where Tad was buried, and in contrast walked over to where Lucinda was and just hands outreach, said, Lou, can I call you Lou? I hear they're calling you Lucinda, but you look like a Lou. Here's what's happening. You're asking what's happening. You're alive, darling. You're here. You're alive. You're not under the grass. Beautiful grass that all as far as the eye can see. But the thing is, you're here, Lou. You're here.
And how does Lucinda react to meeting Lumen for the first time?
I think at first she's just kind of like, how, what, who are you?
Oh, me, I'm Luminescence, the one and only, steps back, puts a leg out of the slit, and does a pose. The Moth Monarch. What? Why are you looking at me like that, Sean?
No. We found them in the forest, which I know is odd to say because they are immaculately dressed. I imagine, like, Lumen never has a speck of, like, dirt on them, despite us just, like, running through the forest and muddy fields, but they still look, like, pristine.
That is accurate.
Yeah. I think all of us have got, like, some dirt and some scratches from the wolves and, like, stuff like that, and then there's Lumen just, you know, immaculate, go, ready for an evening drive.
Flawless. Like, gravity has not affected it.
And I think Lucinda's just like, I don't have time to process any of that. Found them in the woods. Cool. I'm just going to accept it. I thought I died. I thought I was dead.
I mean, you might have been, but...
Like Lumen said, you're not now, so... Do you need anything? Are you okay? You might need to get back to the camp. It's not safe here.
Yeah, we were doing like one last patrol before we went to bed with, you know, the kids who are left. I should probably get back to them, but whatever y'all are doing, good luck, I guess.
Lumen would just like raise one finger in the air like, excuse me, I know you said you don't have time for me, but this isn't a good place for children. You said you have children? They shouldn't be here.
I feel like we are all so exhausted that we all just like look at Lumen like with like, we know, and we're so sad faces.
Perfect.
I think Lucinda gets halfway through saying like, this is a summer camp, and it's just like, puts up her hand and just like turns around and leaves.
Oh, also Lucinda, I am,
she stops,
sorry to say that you will be on your own from now on. Tad's not coming back.
Yeah. Cool. That's I guess one more death we'll have to explain to the parents, I guess. I mean, none of y'all can give me a hand, right?
Lumen steps forward. Oh my gosh, do you want to spend more time with me, Lou?
I think she was just going to, like, quickly ask because she just remembered. Have any of you seen Sid? He hasn't been at the camp in a while. Or did she already hear that?
No, she didn't hear that.
Shh, that was brought up when Sabrina, I believe, went back to the cabin and found everybody.
In their trance, and just kind of mentioned that they were out looking
for Sid. Okay. I thought that was the case. I was just kind of guessing.
still looking, and I think all of us are needed for this next task, I guess you'd call it.
I think Sabrina might turn to Jet and I don't know how this works. If the Cataract Knight is available, is there any way we could send someone to help her back to camp? Or
that's an excellent idea. I'm saying that probably more out of character than in character, because I think Jet just kind of like nods, goes, I believe so. Yes, I can. I'm trying to think of how Zay would contact Harlow from like here.
Just shout. I'll hear it.
Just like a death cell phone. I think maybe how close are we to? We haven't really set like a spot. Maybe they're near the petroglyph boulders. Because that's kind of on the way. And there's like one boulder that is sort of, I think maybe it doesn't have like the Cataract Knight. Maybe it's like a boulder that's got an emblem that we now recognize as that of the Underhill King. And Jet kind of walks over and touches it. And you see this sort of same, I was kind of picturing like a faint blue glow around the water magic that Zay used on Lucinda. And Zay kind of like, there's a similar faint blue glow that like emanates from Zay's hand and then into the thing. And Zay kind of don't say anything and then turn around and it's just like, he will be there. He will watch over the camp tonight.
Thank you.
And I think Lucinda's just like, cool, whatever. Peace.
Poor Lucinda.
I'm kind of picturing that maybe she's got some sort of very mild magical power now, but I haven't quite figured out what that would look like.
Hopefully it's something to do with protection.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe healing.
Very few campers left.
Because she's a nurse anyway, so maybe it kind of manifests as like a healing, like magic.
I have an idea. And this came from some sci-fi show I watched once, and I thought it was horrifying, but also maybe perfectly horrifying for this. Maybe Lucinda has a superpower where she can take the scars and the physical pain from others and transfer it onto her body, where it then heals. So she's covered with scars, but all the people she heals have no sign that they've been hurt.
Oh, damn. I do like that.
Is it like appropriate amount of creepiness for this this crew?
Oh yeah.
Hard thumbs up.
Okay. Lucinda's official superpower. Scary, yeah. Frankenstein situation.
Maybe she discovers that when she gets back to the camp and like one of the campers has like a splinter or something.
I love that. And then she just like put a hand on it to investigate it and it transfers to her hand.
Yep. And all of them are freaked out, but like...
How do you think Lucinda handles it?
I think she's just exhausted at this point. So like, she is too tired to be weirded out by it. And it's just kind of like, I guess I can do that now. Cool. She's like, I'm retiring from camp counseling after this.
Oh, I love it.
As soon as the kids pass out, she just like maybe takes a swig from Alphonse's flask. Maybe she found that on the way back.
Yes.
I almost said from like the rubbing alcohol, but I was like, that is unhealthy and unsanitary. Nobody needs that.
It's a little too hard for Lucinda.
Speaks to where they're at.
Yeah, right. She considered it, but then remembered that the flask had turned up. I think we're coming up to nearly an hour, but is there anything else that we want to do kind of to get ourselves on the way to the creek with the mud crassels? Crassels? Castles?
I think that,
at some point, well, I imagine we're walking, you know, back towards our destination. We've all gathered ourselves again, and Sabrina will sort of approach the Moth Monarch and
clear her throat. I
really thank you for the kindness you've shown, but I think I lost one of the moths to those wolves back there. I'm really sorry.
Oh, that's a very funny joke, little one. Oh, no, it's all right. It's all right, darling. I mean, it would be horrible if you did, so it's good you didn't.
If Sean and Jet would have peeped this conversation, but she'll kind of glance frantically at them before turning back to the Moth Monarch. I really wish that I could say, I'm joking, but... And she'll pull the two remaining moth caskets from her pocket and reveal them. It's gone. One of them is gone.
Someone's going to do another weak move and reject the part of them that actually cares and is just going to try to play it cool and just, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. Yeah, that's not, that doesn't, it's fine. Fine, and just kind of gonna start pacing back and forth a bit. Like, but maybe you just dropped it on the floor somewhere. Should we? No, it's fine. It's fine.
We could go look.
Oh, you're sweet. Yes, I think I would like that. I mean, Theodosia has been resting in that casket for years, and just to think of her somewhere with one of those horrible creatures. But no, I don't care that much. No, it's fine. We won't go look. We won't. But thank you. Thank you. Looking distressed, but like trying to have a bit of a smile. And it's like probably disturbing too how much more the Moth Maiden cares about the dead carcass of Theodosia the Moth than the humans.
Sean will like keep steady in this situation and just, you know, it is fine, Sabrina. It really is.
Sabrina will kind of nod to herself, but she'll be kind of staring down at the ground as they continue on. And I do want to say, I don't know how tra-la-la-la-la happy endings you want to be, but I have a regular move that says spot something everyone else overlook.
Like, ooh, I like that.
Yes. But do we never have happy endings?
Yeah, we deserve happy endings at least once in a blue moon in this hellhole of a camp. So whilst walking sullenly, her eyes down at the ground, she'll kind of see a glint, you know, a flicker of moonlight that made it through the canopy of the forest trees will glint off of something shiny in the dirt. And out of curiosity, she's just gonna drop down and swipe away some soil to reveal somehow intact, tiny glass casket. And she's just gonna grab it and hold it up, and I found it! I found it! Here it is! Here it is! I was just joking! I didn't lose it! I found it!
Oh, what a joke! Oh my goodness! Did you see me? Pacing and everything. Oh my god. You are fun. You are fun.
Sense of humor. Yep. Mm-hmm. She's going to pat it and take all three and shove them deep into her pocket.
This one, the little one, so fun. Lumen would say to Sean.
She's great.
I was going to throw something out there, but I do also have a move that says tend to someone's wounds. That's one of my regular moves. So I was going to suggest that maybe we sort of keep walking for a little while and we do get to like the edge of the like waterfall area where the Hellbender Queen is. And Jack kind of goes, we should probably take a rest, a short rest, and, you know, tend to our wounds to go in ready, because I don't know what the Hellbender Queen is going to be like. And maybe while Zir kind of going through and, like, you know, probably putting old, like, ancient cloth bandages on anybody who's got, like, a big cut and, like, you know, helping tend to people's wounds, although for some reason Lumen doesn't have any. And maybe our old friend the camp cat kind of, like, wanders out of the tree line and just kind of, like, sits, just kind of chills there.
Lumen would, for the record, probably try to fake some wounds to get some attention.
I kind of figured.
Very thespian and, like, over the top. Like, oh no, my knee, it hurts so, Jet.
I think Jet probably tries to, like, splint it, but... and he's, like, keeps poking at it to try and, like, figure out where it hurts.
And Lumen's probably inconsistently like, ow, oh, pain.
Well, maybe the camp cat is a good omen for us.
Maybe. I think Sabrina would pick up the cat and kind of just hold on to it, snuggle it, call back to way back at episode one, story time around the campfire.
Deep cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe that's a good spot to end it.
Gonna go see the Hellbender Queen.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Cool. Good game, gang.
Yes.
Super good one.
How tall did you say that luminescence was?
Six something.
Six seven. I love that because.
Yeah,
a lot of them calling Sabrina little one, and I imagine Sabrina's like 5'11". That's great. I love this imagery. Very tall and lanky, but she's the little one to Lumen.
Sabrina's like not used to being called the little one. I'm pretty sure I made Sean like 5'8", so Sean's even shorter than Sabrina.
Oh, fantastic. Nice moves tonight, leading the ritual.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Even though I messed up the first time, it's okay.
It's all good. I can cut that out if you want, or I can leave it in just to, like, goof on ourselves.
Yeah, I know. Either way.
No mistakes. Only happy little accidents.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Role Less Taken Campfire. You have been listening to Chris as Sabrina, M as Sean, Mickey as Akili, and Graham as Jet. We are playing Sleepaway by Jay Dragon of Possum Creek Games with some elements from the Uncanny expansion, also by Jay Dragon. If you want more information on these games, you can find that information in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter at RoleLessTaken, Instagram at TheRoleLessTaken, and Facebook as TheRoleLessTaken. That's Role with an E. Please rate and review us on Podchaser and iTunes. Also, please tell your friends about this amazing role-playing show. Tune in for our next episode. Thank you for listening, and remember to stay spooky.